Support for NPR podcasts comes from Acura, featuring the Acura TL with Bluetooth phone connectivity. Learn more at Acura.com.
Only a Game is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston. The program is made possible by your financial support. Please pledge online at WBUR.org.
I first saw Anderson Wise at a gym in Needham, Massachusetts. He was lying on his back on a weight bench to which he had strapped himself with a heavy belt. He may not have been pressing more weight than anybody else in the building, but he was the most exceptional athlete on the gym floor.
Well, in medical terms, I was born with a birth defect called spina bifida. And basically what that means is when I was born, part of my back was open, there was a bubble. Sort of messed up the nerve endings in my spine so that I have some feeling in my legs, but I don't have full sensation, you know, not enough strength to obviously walk.
In the gym that day, Andy Wise was trying to master some new exercises for various small muscle groups in his shoulders and arms.
Sometimes they give a little grunt when I lift. It gives you a little bit of extra push. Grunting is good too, you know. I have my grunting moments, you know. So just depends what kind of mood I'm in, you know. Depends on how my day is going. I'll just leave it at that.
The lifting and the grunting are in service of Wise's longer-term goal, which is to prepare himself for the Paralympic Games in Beijing this summer. He's already competed in the Para-Pan Am Games in Brazil and won national championships in his weight class in 2004 and 2006. He can bench press nearly 400 pounds. He begins each training session by driving to the gym in a car that's been equipped with hand controls, lifting his wheelchair out of the car, hauling himself off the seat and into the wheelchair, and rolling into his workout. A workout that is in some ways a continuation of what Wise has been doing for as long as he can remember.
Well, my parents, you know, always treated me just like my other brothers and sisters. You know, my other brothers and sisters slept on the second and third floor, so, hey, you know, I had to figure out a way to get up there myself. They obviously didn't put in an elevator or anything like that. Now I think of it as you know, a really good component that they did that to me, because my upper body, you know, is pretty big now, and a part of that it has to do with, you know, having to crawl up the downstairs to where I get to my room every day.
Pretty big is something of an understatement. You look like you're wearing shoulder pads is what you look like.
Well, thank you. I get that all the time from people, you know. They, you know, at first, you know, if I have, you know, a big jacket on or something like that, you know, they you know, I don't look too big. But then I take, you know, the jacket off and, you know, I'm just, you know, sitting here with a T-shirt on, and people, you know, sort of walk by and they're like, oh, my God, he's enormous.
The bulging biceps and rippling pecs are, in fact, enormous. Family of brothers and sisters to which Andy refers is also sizable. Over the years, Andy's adoptive parents, Dale and Sally Wise, have been foster parents to 45 children, many of them with special needs. At their home in Needham a few weeks ago, Sally Wise recalled the beginning of the family's association with Anderson.
Well, we got a phone call. At the time, we were doing foster care, and we got a call on a little boy that was at then Boston City Hospital that had been born with spina bifida and hydrocephalus. At the time, we were doing high-risk special needs foster care, and that probably this little boy would go on to be adopted.
Adoption was the plan because Andy's mother, who had come to the U.S. from Haiti, had no resources with which to deal with his multiple special needs. Sally says that for months, she and Dale, who are white, expected the Huxtables to sweep in and steal Andy away from them. But it didn't happen, and the Wises, who had begun loving Andy from the first day they'd met him, eventually were allowed to adopt him when he was 3 years old.
We always tell him that he's Haitian by heritage, he's American by birth, and he's Irish by absorption.
Yeah, I can see the map of Ireland.
His favorite meal is corned beef.
Or yeah. Down with a pint of Guinness.
Yeah. Well, Guinness is good for you, right. Exactly. That's all right.
During the years before that menu was an option, it was Sally and Dale who learned how to change the baby's bandages after the multiple surgeries his condition required, and how to bring a certain skepticism to the instructions the professionals gave them for Andy's ongoing care.
I read everything the day we brought him home that they gave us, and I said, well, now I've read it, now I'll put it in the drawer, and now we'll just do baby.
According to Dale, that was a strategy from which Sally never strayed as Andy grew.
Andy was in braces, and the doctors wanted Andy to be in long leg braces or in casts. He had night casts to keep his feet because his feet would turn backwards, and they wanted to train the muscles. And they wanted him in braces or casts 23 hours a day. And Sally said, I'm going to let him be a little boy. So Sally, when he got old enough, would crawl around behind him, and she would move his legs, one leg ahead and then the other leg.
So Sally taught Andy to crawl and hustle up the stairs. And then, when Andy was not quite 2 years old, he impressed Dale by hauling himself into the living room and putting one hand on the coffee table and the other on the couch to pull himself off the floor. Dale wondered what the aspiring toddler might be able to do with a set of modified parallel bars, so he built him one. Then one day the physical therapist, who visited Andy each week, announced that she wanted to work on his abdominal muscles. According to Dale, Andy was ready.
Well, one of the things Andy liked to do, he'd get bored walking from one end of this 6-foot-long parallel bar, he would swing his legs up, and he would sit on them like they were parallel bars at a gym. Or he would sit on the floor and he would chin himself. So I said to the physical therapist, you mean this? And so Andy walked up and flipped over, and then he got to the parallel bars and chinned himself and flipped over. And she said, all right, we don't have to work on his abdominal muscles. We have to work on something else.
The physical therapist was one in a long line of professionals Andy Wise surprised. When Dale and Sally took him home from the hospital, they were told Andy would not only never walk, but because the shunt they'd put in his skull shortly after he was born had probably caused brain damage, he would never talk. Dale and Sally didn't believe it. They talked to him. They played him tapes of nursery rhymes and alphabet songs. He began imitating them, and then he began talking. And sometimes, Dale says, he could be a pretty determined talker.
I got into sled hockey because Andy heard about sled hockey and he wanted to play sled hockey.
How old was he at that point?
He was about 5 years old. And the only place sled hockey was being played was in Minnesota. And he said, well, why can't we go to Minnesota to play sled hockey? I said, Andy, it's almost 2,000 miles. He said, well, why can't we move to Minnesota so I can play hockey?
Eventually, Andy played sled hockey. He played wheelchair basketball, too. The U.S. Paralympic track team asked him to join them, as did the U.S. Paralympic ski team. Instead, Andy concentrated on his education. After graduating from Needham High School, he earned an associate's degree at Mass Bay Community College. He's now pursuing a bachelor's degree at Bridgewater State College, where he's known as a dedicated student, though academics have always been a challenge.
Sort of keeping up with the reading, I'd say, is the most difficult. Pretty slow reader. I have to read things, you know, at least 2 or 3 times to sort of get the whole aspect of what's going on. So sometimes that's difficult for me.
The odds that Andy Wise will deal effectively with that difficulty would seem to be pretty good, given that he wasn't supposed to be able to speak, let alone attend college. But his achievements notwithstanding, a guy who rolls into the gym in a wheelchair and carries a pile of plates on his lap from the rack to the bar still strikes some of the other people in the gym as a guy who needs help. He politely declines their offers.
You know, I sort of feel that, you know, by teaching them that, you know, I can hop on and off the bench by myself, you know, I can pick up the weights by myself, that they'll learn from that, you know, they don't need to always ask me if I need help. Just sort of teaches people that are physically challenged can get around just like people that are able to walk.
So in addition to his other accomplishments, Andy Wise has become a teacher. But his primary focus at this point is on preparing for the Summer Paralympic Games in Beijing. He recently won a competition in Alabama, and his current accomplishments place him among the best powerlifters in his weight class in this country, but he has to impress a higher authority.
You have to be invited by the International Committee in order to attend the Paralympic Games. The U.S. Committee doesn't decide that factor. And so what they do is they calculate your international competition lifts over a 2-year span. I'll find out in March whether I qualified to go, which of course I will. So
you're confident?
I'm very confident, yes.
Given the obstacles, this young man, who was supposed to be too weak to get around by himself and too brain damaged to talk, has already overcome. How could it be otherwise? My story about Andy Wise will be featured in this week's show. We'll also have an update on the Australian Open, and I'll be speaking with Kim Mulkey, the coach of the women's basketball team at Baylor University. She's got a new book out, and her team is currently ranked 8th in the nation. We'll also turn to Michelle Smith for a look at the women's college basketball landscape beyond Texas, and we'll have a story about one of the hottest teams in the NBA, the Portland Trailblazers. So join us, and remember, you can always listen to the program at onlyagame.org.